Hi, everybody. Waiting for my last page to print here real quick. This is my worst. Got a late start today. Hope you guys are doing okay this afternoon. Hey, Sonia, how's it going? Getting my last page to print here real quick. Hope you guys are having a great Tuesday. There it goes. Now we can get started. I got a little bit of steampunk going here today. I hope you guys are having a great Tuesday. I had actually a really, really cool word today. I always seek the Lord before I come on these things. And I got some really cool insight. But, you know, a lot of stuff going on. And I think God's trying to move us out from underneath the oppression of what the enemy's trying to create around us and blanket us with through witchcraft. That's happening to you. Hey, everybody, how are you doing this afternoon? If that's happening to you, the only way to come out from underneath that is going to be through prayer. That's the only way to do that. Because we're in C2. We know how C2 is right now. We know that C2 is high pressure. We're obviously in the thick of it right now in the second week of June. So it's going to bring everything out around us as far as the witchcraft, as far as the demonic things that are operating on people. And we're going to have to learn how to battle it. And so we've got strange fire working against Holy Ghost fire. It's just part of the process where all the crap is coming to the top. That's the purpose of C2, to do a sifting. It's like a sifting, if you will, showing us who's who and showing us what's really, really going on within the body of Christ. So with that, we're going to jump into the message. It's called Removing the Eye of Horus. However many of you have ever heard about the Eye of Horus within witchcraft? And I tell you these things, this whole Ezekiel's wheel is four intercessors. And so if you haven't been tracking with me a while, you have to understand this is for front runners, intercessors, to teach you how to war effectively. I usually do the compass on Wednesday. But since I moved us to Tuesday, I'm not really sure if I'm going to be doing that. So it's really usually used just for emergency words and whatnot. So the Eye of Horus is a tracking tool for witches and Satanists. It's also used as a third eye. It's used like with the third eye. It's called Ra as well. Hi, good afternoon, everybody. It's called the Eye of Horus, Ra, or a third eye. It's developed through spells. And so you're going to have to bind witchcraft spells that create it, as well as targeting it and labeling it, as well as their pineal glands. I'm going to add that in there so that they cannot track you and they don't know what you're doing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But I wanted to put that in there. So that's something that you're going to bind as we move through this time of C2 so that you can actually be effective as an intercessor and not get targeted by the witchcraft. Hi, Susie. Good to see you this afternoon. So witchcraft, what's witchcraft hitting you with in this season? Witchcraft in this place, God is showing us. I said that, you know, during C2, we're in a building process. How many have you been given a building assignment? How many of you have been given that right now? Because usually God will give you a prophetic word. He'll give you a specific thing that he has you attending to, praying about within your ministries, within your life, so that you can actually move forward into that thing. Because he's using it as a way to define what's of God, what's not of God. He's using it to define who's of God, who's not of God in your life. He's showing us in the body who's of God, who's not of God. Those are top parts of C2 that we're starting to find out come to pass right now. So what are you building? And what are you building on? It's showing us exactly, that's the purpose of C2, is to show us what to build, which things being built around us are of God and are not of God, i.e. ministries, prophetic voices, things like that. So it's a time to be testing the spirit like never before if we want to know and see what's of God and what's not of God. I've told you guys last, I think what's Friday, when we were talking about this too, that when God's got us in a sifting season, he's showing us what's of God, what's not of God, who's of God, who's not of God. And so we're seeing that really become prevalent at this point in the body. And so the enemy is busy like never before because of the times we live in, raising up false prophets, possibly false religions. He's got his agenda like God's got his agenda. And so he's trying to mix the different varieties and different things in with the word. And the body is not being taught how to test the spirit and how to differentiate and identify these things, which includes New Age. If you haven't noticed, some of the ministries are now encapsulating New Age terminology, Freemasonry. We're seeing that come back into the dialogue again. Matter of fact, I never thought I'd ever experience this in my walk where I would actually have these conversations with different leaders as opposed to, you know, just talking about the word. But now we're seeing these things come to light. You hear a lot of deliverance ministers talking about getting free and getting free from Freemasonry. If you've got Freemasonry in your family, pardon me, divination and witchcraft. Hopefully you don't, but some people do. But we're seeing this newfound false religion rising up, creating two streams in the body. There's two streams being developed right now. There's a very, very polluted stream. And then there's a pure stream. That's the sifting place that God's developing right now. And it's becoming uber apparent, very, very apparent. And so in the polluted stream, we're starting to see in anything goes. They're mixing New Age. They're mixing a little bit of witchcraft. Anything goes, you know. They're not even saying it. Matter of fact, some people aren't saying it, but I'm going to even be so bold as to say some people are being brazen about it because they're not hiding it anymore. They're showing us who they are. And so this is the season in C2 where we find out who people are. We find out what's in their heart. Do they house hearts of corruption or do they house the heart of God? That's the purpose of C2. It's a sifting season. So this false religion group now is mixing in their strategies with the word of God. And I believe it's very strategic to confuse the sheep. So do you know how to test the spirit? When you listen to people, 1 John 4:3, spirit that's showing me this person or spirit that gave me that word. Do you believe Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days, and that Jesus Christ is God? You ask that spirit that while you're listening to a YouTube video, when you're listening to prophets speak, you ask it. Have you ever been slimed by a prophet? I have, and it really throws you into a faith crisis. Then you have to get cleaned up. You have to go speak with true prophets, and you know, if you don't know the word very well, if you know the word, you can discern what's God and what's not, because it's all based on the fruit of the heart. Remember, we're in a sifting season. It's all based on the fruit of the heart. If you're listening to Jezebels, if you're listening to Ahab or to Balaam's prophets, chances are you got a little bit of that in you. If you can't identify that, that's a problem at this stage in the game. But we're always going to have younger believers. And they're not taught to recognize these things because the church wasn't being built upon the rock. It was built upon apparatuses of religion and apparatuses of politics to where it was just like the world. Not all churches, quite a few. So now we're having to retrain people in how they should test the spirit and how they need to identify who they're listening to and making sure that they're not getting duped in this season. This is a critical season. And the church has never been here before. So we've never had to do these things before except for probably test the spirit. Hopefully you were doing that the whole time. But the other truth is this. That, you know, this morning I sensed a huge blanket of oppression and heaviness on the body. And I knew it was witchcraft spells. I sensed it when I was going to get coffee this morning and I thought, golly, these people. And so I asked the Lord, and this is what he said. He said this to me. He said, well, I'm needing the body to learn to step up and operate in their most holy faith, and they've never truly had to rely upon faith before. Hey, BP. Because they were too busy trying to be their own gods or providing for themselves. And now the only way things are going to come to pass will be through decreeing and building holy structures, not man structures. For this is not man's time, says the Lord, but mine. This is not the devil's time, but mine. And I need my people to stand up in their most holy faith and rise up above the things built on the sand. Because I don't build on the sand, but only on the rock of your salvation. And when you know you're mine, then your faith is rock solid. Which takes us to the title today. And it's called Removing the Eye of Horus, Rock Solid, and then Tribal Angels. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Good afternoon, Facebook and YouTube. So the enemy or the witches now are releasing spells through the eye of Horus or Ra or through the third eye so that they can be in the know about what Christians are praying. So you need to be breaking that off, intercessor. You need to be placing restraining orders against them in the courts of heaven and then asking God to protect your own gates, your own prophetic gifts, the Spirit of the Lord's discernment in you, His prophetic gifts on you, Psalms 91, Isaiah 52:12, asking the Lord to keep that which we've entrusted to Him until that day, so that that can't be manipulated, and you can continually hear the Lord with clarity. Because let me tell you, these false prophets and these little eunuchs that they carry around, Jezebel carries around, they are corrupt as hell. I'm telling you that. They are, and I'll say it, they're the devils, they're spawns of Satan. And they're strategically lifted up for such a time as this. Remember, God lifts up the godly, and the enemy copies everything God does. And so he's lifting up the tares and the wheat. The Lord allowed it. The tares and the wheat are growing up, but it's all contingent upon the heart. I'm not cussing. I'm just telling you where they came from. So the enemy's desperately, his main motive op is to get you out of timing, okay? You're in timing. You're in God's clock. You're moving from faith to faith and glory to glory. If you're operating in the holy Maseroth, it's in the book of Revelations, go read that, then you're operating within the 12 tribes of Israel, which you're moving through the attributes of God's personality every month, trying to acquire and be transformed into God's heart. But you also have to consider the negative attributes of those tribes as you move through them every month. So there are positives and negatives that you need to consider. You don't want to get stuck in any of the negatives. But the main objective in moving you through the heart of God or through God's clock is to keep you in perfect time. Are you not sons and daughters of Issachar, knowing the signs and the times? The old clock, the devil's clock, it's still called the zodiac. Those are signs. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, what's your sign? Your name's been renewed, Jacob. Your name's been changed. You now have been given a new name. You're under Israel's tribes now. So you need to go find your tribe. And then you have tribal angels. Did you know that? Every month that you move through an attribute of God, there are holy angels that can help you and can assist you with those tribal attributes, with that part of God's heart. You need to learn to work with the angels. You need to learn to feed your angels. Psalms. Is that right? Anya, is it? Psalms 34, 12 through 14. You feed your angels. They get tired too. And if you feed them, you will feel instantly. You'll feel their strength. You'll feel your own strength build up. But you need to be doing this if you want to move with the Lord in these places. Hi, James. So the enemy's desperately trying to get God's people out of timing in this season because it's critical for America's advancement. That's why it's critical for you to know what's going on. That's why I have this show. I make it a little bit fun, hopefully, because of the difficulty that we deal with as intercessors. So hopefully you enjoy coming on. I enjoy doing this, actually. It's a lot of fun. I like doing the backgrounds and stuff like that. We got a little bit of steampunk going today. And Peggy, if you're watching, I'm going to get a fire lizard afterwards. For those of you who have never had a fire lizard, that's from Dutch Brothers. Go check it out. They're outstanding. So anyway, there are many, many in the body right now, unfortunately, though, that are being misled by familiar spirits. because they haven't gotten deliverance or haven't been taught how to test the spirits based on 1 John 4:3. So it's causing two rivers to be created right now. And one is completely, again, polluted by the devil and his false prophets and Balaams. And the other one is very, very pure, as only the pure in heart are being drawn into it. How do you get into that river? Pardon me. Allergies, I hate it. The river of God, in order to step into it, you have to step into humility first. You know what's in a fire lizard, by the way? You know why they're so sneaking good? And I just learned a new one. There's called a dragon slayer. So now I'm turned on to the fire lizards and to the dragon slayers. There are these teas. And the fire lizards are made of strawberry, banana, orange, and I think coconut in the tea. That's why it's so stinking good. And the dragon slayers are made of blueberry, raspberry, and some other concoction, but they're outstanding. And I thought, how appropriate is that for where we're standing? You're either going to drink a fire lizard or you're going to drink a dragon slayer. It's up to you. But you have to come to Texas to get it. Maybe not. But look up Dutch Brothers. You might have one in your city. Go check it out. I'm giving Dutch Brothers a plug. I gave Margaret Rowe a plug too. Margaret, Peggy and I hang out. And we always go get them. And I turned her on to them in Texas. We were there like twice a day. We had such a good time. But anyway, I'm going to stay on track. So let's stay on track here. So there's two rivers being created. Two rivers. Okay? Two rivers outside of your fire lizard. You need to wet your whistle. You go get a fire lizard. No. There's two rivers being created. One is completely polluted now. It's becoming polluted by the enemy because the enemy has infiltrated this part of the church. And so we have immature people, and I'm not trying to dog anybody. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm being me. If I have to do this, I told God I was going to be me. Love it or leave it. This is me. I'm the same behind the scenes as I am in front of the camera. So you can hang out. Yeah, you can come do road trips with me. I'll get you a father's. But seriously, I'm this way all the time, so I'm just going to be me. But what I've observed as a leader, there's a group of people that want to come before God any old way that they choose. They disregard God. They're arrogant enough to think that they are God, and they still don't understand that they're about to be judged because God promised it. He's true to himself. He's true to his word. He is the word. So I've observed this for years. When God brought me back into the church 35 years ago, I wasn't raised in church. So what I saw, I mean, I was raised on watching Billy Graham on the couch with my dad every Sunday. And then when I did go back to church, I thought I'd run into a nut house. No offense. But sincerely, it was so dysfunctional. And I saw people acting like hell, greeting people like hell, and then thinking that nobody had the right to confront them. You just have to get over it. The attitude was, you just have to get over it. I don't have to get over anything. You need to get over your own little demonic self and get your butt in deliverance ministry. That's what I tell them now. Go get your butt in deliverance ministry and go get healing. Because if you do that again, you're liable to get something you don't like. I'm just saying, if you did it at a job, you'd get fired. So why do you think it's ever appropriate to bring that crap into the church and make leaders have to deal with that, especially Jezebel, who is so arrogant and disrespectful and dishonoring? I'm seeing it so unbelievably and grotesquely right now in this polluted stream. We see these people get up on big platforms, which is why God would never give them power to begin with, because they would abuse it. They abuse people. And yet when they get corrected, they project their own garbage onto those leaders correcting them, falsely accusing them of the things that they're doing. That's how manipulative the devil is. But that's exactly how he operates. And so it's up to you, sheep, to test the spirit. Because you'll know, Lord says, how will you know my people? By my love. When I have a leader around me, and my leaders are pretty strong, my mentors are very strong, they'll call you out in a New York minute. They don't mince their words. And I don't have a problem with that. They're very loving, though. I know that my leaders, my mentors, love me deeply. So if I get around them and I pop off and say something, and I know it's off color, or that it's not really, you know when you're saying something wrong. Come on. We're all mature enough to know that. Having a bad day. Just repent and get back into line, but own it. That's humility. That's helping you step back into the river of God. But Jezebel will never do that. Jezebel is the front runner for the Antichrist spirit. It's been sent in for this time to purposefully pollute the church with its bitterness of soul. And so it sends in all these little tares, and they infiltrate the true Josephs because they know they carry a double portion. And they also infiltrate these pure-hearted churches, Jezebel spirits, because whatever happens at the head trickles down like the oil in the beard of Aaron, which is why that spirit sashays up alongside of the true prophets. And some of you true prophets out there have had this spirit sashay up alongside of you with its hidden agenda, which is to get up into the highest office in the land so that it can get up near a president. You better shut that thing down so that it can't pollute what God's trying to do for the nation. Don't you see the strategy? Intercessors, please pray about that. Shut that thing down. Lock it. It's as evil as it can be. And the person operating in it is very evil. So there's a river of humility where people, if you step into the stream of God, they don't have a problem admitting when they're wrong. If you're pure-hearted, if you just want to serve the Lord, I just want to come in and I want to see what God has to offer. I just want to see what he wants for me to do. I don't have any particular thing I need. I just want to serve kingdom. I want to help people. Hopefully you do. Hopefully we all do. But when you're stepping into a river, you'll notice the fruit of that heart and those hearts with you in that river. How will you know God's people? By his love. And they don't have a problem admitting when they're wrong, nor do they have issue with going to their brother and making things right if you've caused issues. Do you have a problem when people call you out on things? When leaders call you out, do you puff up like a big puffer fish and, who do you think you are? I'm just leaving. I'm never coming back. No, if you were in a job acting like this, probably your boss would fire you. They would fire you. And so that's why you don't see these people behaving and acting like they would not act at a job. But they do this at church. And so in all the places where you shouldn't be doing that. So spirit of humility, you've got issues with your brother. You don't have a problem making it right. Nor are these people afraid of the Father in heaven and his truth and what he would have their hearts know. You're not afraid of truth. See, to me, that says this. If I'm not afraid of the Father, that tells me a couple things. It tells me that, and when I see this in other people, this is what I sense about them. That tells me that they know who they are, that they know whose they are. Hey, good afternoon. They know whose they are and who they are. They have identity. They have purpose. They know their destiny. And they're mature. That shows me the level of maturity of the vessel. When you have people who get up into a puff storm like a puffer fish, that tells me they need some deliverance ministry. That tells me that they're going to buck authority. It tells me that they're going to have a rebellious heart, that they're going to cause problems for leadership, that they're usually there with a hidden agenda. And then when they try to sashay up alongside of leadership, that's telling me a whole lot of things. And I start getting really guarded when I have people do that to me. I'm like, what do you want from me? Because I don't know you. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, why do I like this? And the Lord said, because I'm really slow about getting to know people. I don't know why I've always been like this. And the Lord says, you think you're slow. He said, I'm really slow with the body. He goes, 85% of them are in the outer courts. I'm still getting to know them and getting them to clean their hearts up for those who will obey. And for those who are obedient, I'm slowly gravitating them in like David when I drew him as a man after my own heart. God's really slow. If you're going to come near a holy God, he does it very slowly for your own safety. Because if you come near him any old way you choose, you're liable to get struck dead. He's very protective about his heart. And then when you start putting your mouth on people that are near his heart, God holds things to, he holds people that want to draw near him very clearly, he holds them very dear. When you start putting your mouth on them, he takes it personal. because they're his children. He loves them. He's not obligated to protect a heart not in covenant with him. So the river then, if you're going to flow in the right river, it's a river of complete trust and obedience, because those flowing in it are flowing directly into the heart of God. And these are the rivers of living water. And all vessels that operate there are not stagnant. They're always growing and learning, and there are no apparatuses of religion or politics. They're not there for an agenda. They're just there for God's agenda. Serve and help the other sheep. And there's nothing holding them captive except for their love in Christ. These are hearts full of faith, and they're now able to fly into the purest of places. And their words and decrees aren't held back in God's courtrooms, because they don't pray with corruption, but only operate in the heart of the Father. If your prayers are always being defeated in the courts of heaven, you have a corrupt heart. Therefore, God's not obligated to uphold your prayers because you pray amiss or lack the humility to get your heart corrected before a holy God, so that he might hold court with you. Check this out. If you know anything about a king, he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Remember, kings love to come and hold court with their courtiers. But there will always be people that sneak into court just to schmooze or have hidden agendas, trying to build their own kingdom instead of God's. You know what kings did with those types of people in their days? They had them beheaded because they were a threat to their kingdom. Elizabeth did it with her cousin, Mary, Queen of Scots. If they were very particular about that, who was near them? So God is very, very, very particular about who comes near him in this hour. He wants to know, are you a woman or a man after my own heart, or are you still seeking your own? Are you doing this to my leaders? Because this is a season of sifting. So God's trying to find out and make us take long looks at our heart and count the cost before we desire to come nearer to a holy God. It's going to cost you something to step into love. It's going to cost us all something to step near a holy God. Which brings us to the next topic about God's holy tribes. During the year, as an intercessor and a front runner, you're going to have to learn to release your holy tribe angels from the 12 tribes of Israel every month. Because each tribe builds uniquely for that month, for that part of God's heart being developed. This month, June, it's going to be the tribe of Zebulun. July is the tribe of Reuben. August, the tribe of Simeon. In September, the tribe of Gad. Gad is one of the most key tribes because they're governmental angels, and they're going to be used mightily this month. So you're going to need to be releasing them as we approach September. And as we enter into the higher dimensions of God's heart for the obedient only, I'm going to specify that. But as we enter into these higher dimensions at the end of this month, we're in the lower dimensions of his heart. Matter of fact, I'll put this up on your screen to see if I have it here. Yeah, I do. I'll drop it in here real quick so you can see. I put this up last time, but I need to show you guys. You're building the higher dimensions, the seven spirits of God in the inner court. So right now, I hope you can see like the lower part of the most inner circle, and I said building the lower dimensions and attributes of through January 1 through April 30th, and I even want to go so far as to say even into latter June. So we're almost in latter June right now. So you'll notice where it says Gemini, that's the enemy's clock. I've listed both of them on this. Zebulun is its tribe. If you got your name changed, you're in covenant with God, your name's been changed to the tribe of Zebulun. Okay, so that means most likely you're going to house a lot of these characteristics of God's heart. Okay, so you're going to want to work with these angels. And matter of fact, if you were born in the month of June, you are going to always want to release these angels around you. These are your birth angels. They help you in your journey with the Lord, as well as your guardian angels. You have sent angels, sentry angels. This is per Ron Horner on this one little blip it. sentry angels, guardian angels, I want to say appointment angels, but you're going to want to work with these holy angels. That's why we were trying to teach you guys about the angels as intercessors and frontrunners, as well as teaching you how to move through the heart of God, because you need it all. You need it all. So as we move through C2, the bigger scope, C2 is four quadrants. If you break this whole circle up into four quadrants, it's like a dartboard. I made it out of a dartboard. But then you've got the three tribes in quadrant one, which is Capricorn. I'm going to say it by the Aquarius, Pisces, those are the zodiac clock. The tribes of Israel are going to be Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Second quadrant is what we're in right now. By the way, the second quadrant is the biggest part of God's heart. That's the left ventricle. That's the left chamber, the second chamber. The biggest part of your heart is the second chamber, which is the one we're in now. That's where all the fire and the energy happen to cleanse the blood. So we move through that. We're almost through that right now. And that should be indicative of getting free and getting deliverance from the things that so easily beset you, to set you on a higher trajectory to move into the higher dimensions. So if you're going to see at the end of June right here, at about the 9 o'clock hour on your end, you look up into the inner circle, say the higher dimensions of God's spirit, where it talks about might, knowledge, I think counsel, understanding, wisdom, the fear of the Lord. These are the seven spirits of God. So this is where we're, if you've been faithful in getting delivered, which is what we have to do in this season, January through April 30th are high deliverance months. That should be your goal every year when you come into this season, to start focusing on deliverance. And if not, then you will have a hard time. You're not going to be moving forward like you would like to be moving. So that's where we're at. We're moving into the higher dimensions of God's heart now for the obedience. And you should begin to experience a little pressure. But if you're in prayer daily, that pressure shouldn't affect you as much. It pays to be in the presence of God. And as God brings you higher into his attributes, you should also experience, and I'm going to say today we shifted into a brand new level spiritually, where new strength should have bolstered your spirit man. You should be feeling a little bit stronger today, with new guardian angels being released to guard your vessel. God released your tired angels from January 1 through April 30th until now, and has reinstated a new grouping of angels to help you in the second part of your journey into the higher dimensions of God, which is actually going to help propel you, hopefully, into the head of the year. Okay? So now, and I thank God for this, because right now, and this is why it's so imperative to learn to work with your angels, because when you get tired, you strengthen your angels by feeding them. Psalms 34, 12 through 14. That's the scripture that feeds them. It's manna from heaven. But you'll feel that strengthening spiritually around you. You'll feel it happen when you say that. Try it sometime. You'll feel it. Lord, I feed my angels right now with Psalms 34, 12 through 14. You'll feel a strengthening and a bolstering coming up over even your own vessel, because they're here to undergird you. So that leads us to the message for today. Man, I sucked up a lot of time talking about that, but it's fine. We're fine. So we're going to move into 1 Kings 12, 20, and then through 1 Kings 13, 34. And it's talking about the yes men not seeing God's wisdom. And this is really important. I was a little bit taken aback by this, but you know what? So be it. We'll say it. It's talking about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And actually, it was speaking about Rehoboam. He was a leader. He struggled because he always refused to go to God for wisdom, but he instead depended upon man. How many of you depend upon man more than you depend upon God? Because if you know anything about men, man is fickle. They're driven by their emotions when God is not. And God will tell you the truth straight up, and it's always right the first time. If you hear God correctly and you know how to test the spirit and you spend time with God regularly, then you're going to know that small, still voice that guides you. But the problem is, when we seek the advice of man, we actually just want to hear what we want to hear. You know that? Because a lot of people are afraid to go to God because they know God's going to tell them the truth. And they're going to say, they know that, most people know that he's going to say, no, that's not me. You know better than that. Come on. So In this hour, we have a whole lot of yes men around us, or people who will agree with us when we've decided to do what we want to do instead of what God says to do. This is what we're dealing with in leadership too, by the way, on some leadership levels. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you what he said. So those people who we call around ourselves, if you don't have truthful people who are loyal to God first and that are yes men to you, then you'll lose going to God. You'll stop going to God because you don't want to hear that truth. And you'll start getting into bunny trails. You'll start getting diverted off God's pathway for your life. This is what's happened to the church. So what are these yes men then? These yes men are people who agree with us in our selfishness or fleshliness, depending upon men, so that we can garner advice, even though we don't really have intentions of even taking their advice if they tell us good advice. So you've already made up your mind, basically, when you go to men instead of going to God about what you're going to do. Now, if you have godly people, again, that are loyal to God, you can trust them to tell you the truth no matter what. I do that, but I always try to go to God first and let man back it up, because God will confirm himself in twos or more. So if you're a leader doing this, then get ready for fall, because this season, God says, especially in C2, this is a heavy C2 sifting season. And God is dredging up all the garbage to the top so that all men on all mountains can see what's going on. Lord said he's dredging up garbagey people, corrupt people, garbagey governmental officials. He's dredging up garbage in the church, garbagey leaders, fake Christian, fake sheep, garbagey belief systems or ideologies, false doctrine, garbagey education, ready thinking or intellect. As a man thinketh, so is he. And you get my point on all seven mountains. So God is dredging up everything in C2. He's letting it all come to the surface. C2 is a refining time. It's a refining time for us so that God can skim all the garbage off the top and he can purify the stream. That's what he's doing. But when we just want people who tell us what we want to hear, we lose sight of why God places us into positions of authority of serving. And a true leader's job is to help those solve problems by lightening their loads and teaching them the correct ways of God. So instead of using their authority to build people up, they use people to build their own agendas, not teaching or instructing the sheep towards the goals of love. So this is a season God is saying these people are building their houses on the sand. But only the Lord builds a house, and all those that build theirs alone labor in vain. We have to build God's way. When you're decreeing a thing, you can't rely on man to build. You can't rely on your own heart. You only say and pray what you hear your Father saying. And we're also coming into a place as a nation where we're fixing to become a very, very divided nation. And as much as we love unity, Lord's saying you have to accept the fact that during this season of severe sifting, some divisions are of God. Quit trying to put things back together that are not of God. So quit trying to play God and let God show us who's who in the kingdom, which river they're flowing in. Because they'll either have a polluted stream in their hearts or they'll be operating in a pure stream. And let me tell you, too, the backlash and the retaliation. I didn't understand this, why I've always gotten this. But now I understand, because the church is so messed up. And I'm not going to make excuses anymore and apologize for it anymore. It's the truth. The church has really fallen far away from the truth of love. And a lot of people think they're okay. We have a lot of leaders thinking they're okay. We have leaders calling other leaders. And making, pardon me, some of these apostolic leaders question what they're hearing from God. And because they don't want to lose credibility or a relationship, then we have a lot of people backtracking on what they said. If God gave you a word and you backtrack, you're betraying the Lord. You need to own what God tells you to do and stand up, because that's your test. That's a test of loyalty for you. Are you going to say what you hear your father saying, or are you going to listen to man and comply with man? So God is exposing who's who. It's a sifting season. And so there are also, within this whole grouping right now, within the true streams that are starting to flow, there are false leaders, and some of them are old guard leaders. I'm shooting straight up. And this is where I get in trouble. But I have to say what I'm hearing the Lord say. If this makes you feel uncomfortable, chances are you need to go to the Lord and ask him what he has to say about your heart. Because you've let something else in there. And if you want to help and be used by God to bring your body through, out of the old and into the new, you're going to let him clean you up. None of us get out of this thing unscathed. We all get to get cleaned up from the top down, preferably from the top down, because what happens at the head trickles down like the oil on the beard of Aaron. That's why he's starting at the top. Why do you think he's starting at the top of the government mountain? He's cleaning the head up because the head has gotten screwed up. Whatever as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you've indoctrinated, pardon me, other ideologies in with the word of God, say in your bloodline, like with Freemasonry or with Illuminati type of stuff, divination, any type of witchcraft, say you've got forefathers in your bloodline that have gotten mixed up in this stuff, different types of religions, they have a tendency to mix and pollute the body of Christ with doctrines of demons and traditions of man. That's how the church got screwed up, giving homage to false gods. So yes, God has to clean up the head. And a lot of you need to quit running around like Chicken Little. Oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, it's not. No, he's just asking you to humble yourself before him and get cleaned up. No one's trying to steal your world away. They're just trying to say, hey, humble yourself before a holy God so he can use you in higher dimensions with the sheep that are following you. And if you start implementing this right now, the whole church, your whole body will accelerate forward, because every time a church goes through a hardship or a testing and they all go through it together and they overcome together, they all accelerate into higher dimensions of God's spirit together for the new season and for doing the things that kingdom wants them to do. So God is saying, my job that I've given you in this season, I want you to quit leading the body away from me and lead them back to my heart. This is a season where God's looking for men and women with a heart like David. I'm sorry, but I think a lot of us kind of, I'm not going to say me, because my life's always been different in the respect of being a deliverance minister, but so I'm all about getting free. I love getting free. That's my whole mandate. But even going back to church when I was younger, I had a tendency to forget that, you know, not everybody has the same calling. And so I'm not trying to push a deliverance calling on you. I'm really trying to push you towards getting free so that you can enter into the glory of God. You can enter into the love of God. That's what God told me 35 years ago when he took me to heaven, the first time I ever went to heaven with him. He told me, I'm going to be using your vessel with a few others to help bring the glory and the love back. That's what the calling of Christ is now. That's for revival. Wouldn't you agree? That's to help get ready for revival. So when a religion doesn't have God's approval, it's doomed for failure because man has mixed his ways with God's ways. And this year will be a year that God's pruning back trees to show what's underneath the branches, what's been covered for years. And just because a tree is older doesn't mean it's not rotten or bearing rotten fruit. Ever peeled back the bark from a tree only to discover that the tree is dead? Or has rotten bark underneath? It doesn't bear fruit, or really doesn't have any stability because its limbs are so dry and they've gotten barren. But now that brings us into the story. This is key right now where we're at as to why it's important to test the spirit. But did you ever hear the story about the prophet who was misled by a prophet when God had given the first prophet specific directions as to what he was supposed to do before he entered into that place or that city? We'll read that chapter. It's based in, say it again, 1 Kings 12:20 through 13:34. But this is the problem in the body right now, because we have so many prophetic voices in the body that the body is saturated with supposed prophetic voices. The problem is the enemy infiltrated the prophetic movement with Balaams and false prophets, but the church doesn't have the training to discern the truth from a lie. Not everybody. 1 John 4:3, when you test the spirit that's operating behind a person, Lord, you should be praying God. And the first thing you want to be praying about God is this a Jezebel? That's the number one thing. That's a front runner for the Antichrist spirit. And its main objective is to steal your identity, to steal your calling, because it pollutes you with its own bitterness of soul very strategically. How does it pollute you? On its words. That spirit travels on its words, bitterness, to pollute as many vessels as possible. And when you get around it, you know when you get around a person that's a Jezebel, because the whole atmosphere gets polluted with witchcraft. You can't hear. The true prophets can't hear. So wouldn't it be strategic of the enemy to bring in Jezebel against America's true prophets, those prophets prophesying on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level, to pollute those prophets who could possibly be advisors to the president of the United States, when that spirit's and that demon's main objective is to get up into that office, in and around that vessel, to mislead that vessel so America never comes into revival? Wouldn't that just be like that? You true prophets, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. I'm not a know-it-all, but I'm telling you, I heard the Lord and what he told me. You need to wake up, and you need to shake these stinking Jezebels out of your tree. Get them away from you. Hebrews 12:27, ask him to shake your tree. Get them away from you. They have rotten fruit. And they're sent by the devil. But this is the problem right now in this hour. When we hear from God as prophets, but go to man or other prophetic voices and letting them tell us what to do. We have so many leaders letting other people tell them what to do. And I'm going to tell you, some of you leaders, one of you specifically, you heard God right the first time. Do you realize that this prophet's disobedience cost him to where he not only lost the blessing, he lost his life? And God had warned this particular prophet not to eat or drink in a certain place with certain people because God knew their hearts. And when the prophet ran into other prophetic voices in that place, he was duped into disobeying the Lord. When he left that place, if you go read that passage, you're going to notice a lion killed him. Think about this. And I want to even go so far as to challenge you to think like this. A lion killed him. It did not touch him, didn't maul him, but it killed him. Could it represent another believer getting him disqualified, or a fake believer? I'll leave it and or. An immature believer or a fake believer? Just putting it out there. Or this could be one of God's lions, and God saw something in this vessel that this prophet didn't see. Notice the scripture in the Bible does not say the other vessel or the other prophet was a man of God, though. He just calls him a lion. And so he was just a lion that killed him, because there are some lions or false believers or immature believers who aren't God's children, but they have prophetic voices. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. You understand? That's come up in this last week too. You can't give them back. The anointing is the only way and the only thing that can be pulled off of a vessel. And that's because of disobedience and abuse of authority. And that's what's fixing to happen to a lot of these Jezebels. So I realize that in this passage it's talking about an animal. But believers are also called lions, who can cause extreme harm with their gifts when those gifts are misused. Okay? When they're abused, or when those corrupt hearts won't get cleaned up. So this is a season now where we must only do what God tells us to do so that we stay aligned. And by the way, this isn't a season of going and listening to a lot of other prophets and doing a peat and repeat. If you're a prophet and you're a true prophet and you're worth your salt, you're seeking the Lord yourself. I don't go listen to other prophets and find out what they're saying. I'm not repeating that. This is just for my time, my last 4 hours with the Lord. That's what you're getting from me today. So I'm not doing a peat and repeat. So this leads us into the next leader that was raised up after Rehoboam, and Jeroboam was the next leader who saw this particular prophet's downfall before. He saw him disobey the Lord, and he saw a lion come out and kill him, and then he took care of the prophet. But even after seeing what God did to judge that prophet for disobeying him, this certain leader still didn't change his evil ways. But he went again and appointed priests that were not of God. You've ever heard of evil kings, queens, and priests? Evil lions? That's part of witchcraft. Those are the different types of demons that are operating this hour against the true sons and daughters of the king. So this particular leader mingled with false prophets. And then he allowed them to defile his own family, which caused his own downfall. The Lord says you can't serve two masters this hour. You can't do that. And it's amazing to me when people don't like to hear the truth, they get all upset. They're like, I don't know about that. I don't know if this was of God. Of course it's not of God in your eyes when you don't like it. I'm not here to entertain. I'm just telling you what he told me today. So let's lead us into the new move of God, Acts 9, 26 through 43. And we talk about Saul turning into Paul and how the church got all confused and they couldn't discern God's people from the devil's people. That's the hour we're living in right now. It occurred when Saul of Tarsus had a conversion experience with the Lord, and the only person that recognized him was Barnabas. Thank God for Barnabas, our little encourager. And actually, Barnabas was the bridge that helped Saul be accepted by the church, because actually they were afraid of him because he'd killed so many Christians. And he was actually then involved, Paul was involved in the Antioch church for the Lord in a prominent way. But now, how many times do we overlook the people that God's sending in? Because we can't discern the move of God, for one, but we can't discern the people bringing in that move. And so then we're so duped into every voice that we listen to. We assume that every voice is of God. We don't know how to test the Spirit. That we're starting to call right wrong and wrong right. We're starting to mislabel people. Because you don't know their heart. Only God knows the heart. That's why you've got to ask God about everything and everyone around you now. Ask him. And don't be so quick to expose yourself to everyone. Take your time getting to know people. Sincerely. Take your time. So, in this season, God is saying there are going to be very, very specific people with very colorful past that God is going to raise up to do some very critical things in the church. And it's because they look like, sometimes acted like the world, but can maneuver through the enemy's camp more easily than someone more prominent who's been raised in the church. These are the prodigals God's raising up. But they're disguised more efficiently so that God can temporarily make them look like they fit into the world, but in reality, they're really of his kingdom. We're really of his kingdom. Look like, feel like, sound like. We don't always look like you. You know, God found his disciples on the boat docks, right? You know that, right? And you know Jesus. I don't know why this slips the church's mind. Sometimes I think people get brain dead and they forget Jesus found his disciples on the boat docks. They cuss like sailors. Peter cussed like a sailor, by the way. I don't know why we seem to have this pie in the sky thinking, oh, they're just so religious and they're so holy. And no, they weren't. And by the way, Jesus hung out with prostitutes and drunks because they were the ones who needed him. So I don't know why we have this mentality. That's that structure of religion operating. Like when you're real and authentic, then you realize people are just people, and you learn to love people the way God made them, and you learn to discern the heart, and you let him talk to you about people. You let God unfold a matter. And you're wise in your relationships to where you don't just jump to conclusions and jump on board the bandwagon of the negative Nellies in your church surroundings, or of the gossipy Gillies, or whatever your name is for them. Gossipy Gabbies. Just saying. Who want to just badmouth everybody and put their mouth on everybody. Oh, you know what so-and-so is wearing? I don't really give a rap. I don't give a rip. I don't care. I'm sure you've worn things that people don't like too. So we quit mislabeling people and quit misidentifying them and confusing them with people that they're not. And you're able to identify the false prophets between the true prophets. And you're able to see who's of God, who's in God's stream, and who's not. That's where he's trying to help you step into. But all it takes is a spirit of humility. You've got to have that first. Humbling yourself before a holy God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. But this is what's going on. So this is bringing us back into Psalms 132, 1 through 18 as we're wrapping this up today. And it's talking about returning back to God. And it occurred during a time when the Jews were having a super difficult time rebuilding the temple during David's time, right before he passed away. And he wanted so badly to build the temple of the Lord. But God didn't want, he wanted people with a heart like David. God wants people with a heart like David. But he didn't want a warrior or a bloody warrior or someone who was always warring to build his tabernacle. That. Because God needed, pardon me, he needed, still does, he needs men and women after his own heart. But he needs men and women with wisdom. Vessels who know how to listen to him and obey and do what he's telling them to do instead of duking out situations with their hands through war. How many people are finding Christians in the church now? I'm seeing it all around us where people get mad at somebody and then they, and then the worst thing you can possibly do, pardon me, is teach them about the courtrooms of heaven because they won't get cleaned up. So they learn these high-powered tools, or so they think, and thank God the courts of heaven are set up in a way to where a corrupt heart can't really use them effectively. Thank you, Jesus, because it shuts that heart down. How many of you realize if you use the courts of heaven in a corrupt way, none of your court cases stand because God's not obligated. Your ways aren't his ways, and your standard isn't matching his heart. So he's not obligated to honor your words in the courts. If God didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. You want to know why? The reason your words aren't standing up in court, pardon me, is because there are unholy speaking spirits that haven't been delivered off of bloodlines yet, off your vessel yet. And you're the gatekeeper for your bloodline to help get your family free, to start that movement in your family, to bring your whole family back to God. But you're so busy trying to be right, and you're so busy trying to war, that God can't even get the truth back over to you to help you start the process. So when you try to operate in these high-level tools and all these different things, and you run over to the Robert Hendersons, God bless you, Mr. Henderson, or you run over to all the Ron Horners and all these people thinking, I'm going to get my hands on these weapons and I'm going to tear them up and I'm going to give them theirs. And God's like, oh my, because you're not the judge. Think about that. Did you realize you're trying to go over to somebody else's part of kingdom, 2 Corinthians 10:13, where it talks about every man is given, every Christian's given their measure of kingdom. Okay, so there's only one judge on the judge's seat. It's not you. It's not me. There's only one judge. And yet we have so many people trying to play judge, jury, and executioner over each other when God clearly says, I think it's Matthew 7:12, judge not lest you be judged. And then he also states, but I think it's Matthew 6:27, if I have that right, maybe 12:27, actually. I can look at it right here. Yeah, I'll tell you. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 12:37. By your words, you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned. So when you come into the courts of heaven and you're judging people with your opinions and your demons that are on your bloodline because you think you are so it in God's eyes, and God's like, no, you're full of corruption. Next, boom, get out of my sight. And by the way, get off my throne. Get your butt off my throne. I'll say it. He's telling you point blank, thou shalt have no other gods but me. You're putting yourself in the position of judge, jury, and executioner. So you will be judged. By your own words, you'll be acquitted. By your own words, you'll be condemned. So he's telling you, he said, you're not to ever judge another man's faith. He says it in this word. You got another word. How well do you know the word? And by the way, how well are you applying the word to your life? How well are you? Are you just reading the Bible and thinking it applies to everybody but you? It makes us look foolish when you do these kind of things, when we do these. I mean, that's why God says, if you're going to step into my river, you're going to step into it humbly. You gotta step into it with the spirit of humility. If my people are called by my name. So God's challenging us in this season right now. He's saying, you know, I don't want you losing sight of my ways and my traits. Because in doing so, it causes you to get out of timing. It causes you to lose blessing. Instead of being changed and wanting to be like me, he says, that's the purpose of the courtroom. Serve as a multifunctional tool for the body of Christ. But always remember, only God is the judge. None of us are judging each other. So that takes us into Proverbs 17:6 as we wrap up today. We went over a few minutes where it states that children's children are a crown to be to the aged. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. It becomes a system of honor, is what that speaks to me, where you teach your children God's ways and they carry on God's legacy. And they know the true heart of God and not just a parent's version of him or a person's version of him. You know, your version of God or your interpretation of who you think he is may not be who he says he is. And only the Lord can show you through revelation his own heart. So with that, that's where we're at. Brad, are you encouraged today? You like my steampunk thing going on here? I had fun making this one. This was a lot of fun. I like doing these things. I mean, it's a lot of fun because I find this stuff on a certain website. I'll keep that confidential. But it's a lot of fun. If you want to try it, I'll tell you. I don't care. But I have a lot of fun making them. I think it's fun because, you know, if we have to have hard words, I might as well entertain you while I'm doing it. But anyway. And, you know, as we're almost wrapping up C2, thank God, hate this time of the year. Matter of fact, this hasn't been as bad. It's been pretty intense. But, you know, as we're wrapping this up, I want to encourage you guys to make my dog leave me alone here. Sorry. But to really, really stay in prayer. Stay in prayer with the Lord. Don't give up on God. Don't quit thinking the best of a holy God. Because God thinks the best of you. He's rooting for you. He's rooting for our nation. And I really, really believe that, you know, when you stay in prayer, you're staying close to the voice of God to know what's going on. I don't have to run to other voices. I don't have to run to the fake news. I don't have to know because I've already got the good news. I know what he's going to do. He's told me what he's going to do. He's got great plans for this nation. It's God's time, not the devil's time. And so all this other stuff is just an illusion. It's a smokescreen. And yeah, they're in a rush. They're trying to push their evil agenda. But you know what? God's bigger than all that. So in the interim, just make sure you're prepared. Do you have extra water? Do you have a little bit of extra food? Do you have a generator? Things like that. Do you have extra food? Pardon me, different things that you and your family may need. Those are things that I would tell you to be prepared for anyway, for any emergency. Emergency lights. You can get emergency lights that screw into your lamps that come on during power outages. They're a great investment. So with that, I'm going to leave you. But I hope you've had a great time. I'm going to run over to Dutch Brothers and grab myself a fire lizard. If you've never tried a fire lizard, you're going to want to try one. Those and those dragon slayers, they're awesome. And also, you need to try their Golden Eagle coffee. It's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But until I see you again, I'll hopefully see you on Friday. And until then, you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. You know that I love you. I'll see you. Bye.